As we continue our meditations on the figure of Saint Joseph, today we meditate on the fifth sorrow, his flight to Egypt, and his fifth joy, the overthrown of idols. Just to remind you of the time frame we are talking about here, we're just about 55 days after the birth of our Lord. So Jesus is still obviously very young. Herod sends his soldiers to slaughter all male under 2 years old. A little bit of geography. The Holy Family travels from Bethlehem to Fostat, which is near Cairo, Cairo being the capital city now of Egypt. So just outside of the actual, the present time Cairo, we have the little town of Fostat. At the time, the city of Fostat was actually kind of the main city in Egypt. Just to give you an idea, this is about 300 miles between Bethlehem to, let's say, Cairo or Fostat. 300 miles. I think at a decent pace, that probably takes about a month to travel these 300 miles. And do not expect nice, beautiful fields, flat lands. No. You have to cross the Sinai Peninsula. That's a very arid, very tough desert with high mountains. Risk of many attacks. You have to go to travel in between the mountains. It is a little path in the valleys. But the valleys are typically very dark because the sun doesn't reach these valleys. And the risk of attacks is very high. Unless you take a different route, going with a boat, following the coast, the Mediterranean coast, which is unlikely the case for the Holy Family, because this would have taken them 35 miles off from Bethlehem to the coast, and then going down the coast, then the Nile, in order to reach Fostat, which would have taken probably more time and would have been more expensive. So knowing that they are being persecuted, I doubt also that they traveled with a group. The soldiers were out looking for every male under 2 years old. So imagine, you cannot travel with a whole caravan. You run the risk of finding these soldiers, or the soldiers to find you. Would have been too dangerous. And Saint Peter Chrysologos, in fact, agrees that they certainly traveled alone. And I don't think I stressed that enough, but imagine Mary, probably under 18 years old, Joseph, and Jesus, just about 55 days old, crossing this desert with bandits around, with the cold nights. Days can get pretty windy in the mountains. And yet Saint Joseph, as we have talked already in the past, semper idem, always the same, keeping his calm and composure. The good Lord has a plan, and his trip or his flight to Egypt is not in vain. As a result, idols are overthrown and God is once again victorious. Interesting thing for our own spiritual lives. We think that Joseph and Mary are running away from a danger, from the soldiers of Herod, but to find what? To find another danger in Egypt with all these false gods and idols. So what a lesson for our own spiritual life, when sometimes we want to stay away from certain dangers, which is true, we should, but the devil, the world, our own pride never rest. The warfare will be all the way up to our last hour. And yet, once again, Saint Joseph remains with that same composure, that same peace of mind and soul, because he is convinced, after the message of an angel, he is convinced of his divine mission. Semper idem, always the same. So as we said, this fifth joy of Saint Joseph, the overthrow of idols once they reached Egypt. And where does that tradition comes from? Well, we have to look at history once again. Let's remember that they stayed in Egypt for about 3 years. Sometimes in our minds, or maybe children, we think the flight to Egypt is pretty short, quick. They go there, they come back. No, once again, 300 miles. And then they stayed there in Egypt, the city of Fostat, for about 3 years. And this overthrow of idols was already announced in the Old Testament. If we read Isaiah chapter 19, "The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord will ascend upon a swift cloud and will enter into Egypt. And the idols shall be moved at his presence, and the hearts of Egypt shall melt in the midst thereof." We have also some mentions of this overthrow of idols in the Gospel, Apocrypha Gospel of the pseudo Matthew. We think that it was written around the 7th, 8th, or at the latest, the 9th century. This pseudo Matthew wrote the Gospel, Apocrypha Gospel, which of course is not part of the canon of the text of our Bible. And yet, we have talked about these apocryphas in the past. It doesn't mean that these writings are just purely fables, purely myths. No, and actually this gospel from the pseudo-Matthew had been a very rich source in the Middle Ages for art, for paintings, for windows. It was considered kind of a solid material, not fables are simple tales, no, but certainly some truth in it as well. And so we read about the flight to Egypt and this overthrow of idols also in this in the writings of pseudo Matthew. Here is what he says. "And it came to pass, when the most blessed Mary went into the temple with the little child, that all the idols prostrated themselves on the ground, so that all of them were lying on their faces, shattered and broken to pieces." And then he refers to another text of the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel. "And thus they plainly showed that they were nothing, these idols. Then was fulfilled that which was said by the prophet Isaiah, 'Behold, the Lord will come upon a swift cloud,' as we said, 'and will enter Egypt, and all the handiwork of the Egyptians shall be moved at his presence.'" So Isaiah and again Samuel, and I give you the quote from Samuel. "Next morning, the men of Azotus woke to find Dagon, this false god of ancient Syria." Again, we are back in the Old Testament here. Dagon, the false god of ancient Syria, who was considered the father of gods. "So to find Dagon laying face downwards in front of the ark." And you understand already the prefiguration, the connection, the parallel between the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, the end of the idols, and the new covenant, the new ark, the true God. "Dagon was face downwards in front of the ark, and there in the doorway lay his head, and both hands severed from the trunk that lay where it fell." Again, first book of Samuel. The new ark of the covenant, Mary. Mary is present, and before her, we have also the Son of God. And idols must fall and be destructed. Interesting to notice that around that same time begins the end of the spiritual hegemony of the Egyptian priests and worshippers. When Cleopatra and Mark Antony were defeated by the Roman Emperor Octavian. That's about 30 years before the birth of our Lord. Egypt became a province of the Roman Republic, bringing an end to the last of the Egyptian dynasties. And after the end of their political power begins the end of their spiritual power and the decline of their false worship and false diabolical gods and goddesses. And soon after that, Egypt would become one of the most prominent places for the true worship of the one true God, with the fastest growing amount of monks, hermits, monasteries, with an extensive spiritual literature, thanks to what will be known later as the Fathers of the Desert. And so Egypt is considered the mother of Christian monasticism, as it gave birth to so many Christian communities. And the West will have to wait a little longer before taking that first role of Christianization of pagan cultures. So amazing to meditate on the presence of Christ in Egypt during the 3 years, the Holy Family, and how that was, of course, part of a divine plan to Christianize little by little this heavily pagan culture. So as a conclusion, I would like to simply share this prayer that we found in one of the novenas when we meditate on the joys and sorrows of Saint Joseph. O most watchful guardian of the incarnate Son of God, glorious Saint Joseph, what toil was yours in supporting and waiting upon the Son of the Most High God, especially in the flight into Egypt. Yet at the same time, how you did rejoice to have always near you God Himself, and to see the idols of the Egyptians fall prostrate to the ground before Him. By this sorrow and this joy, obtain for us the grace of keeping ourselves in safety from the infernal tyrant, especially by flight from dangerous occasions. May every idol of earthly affection fall from our hearts. May we be wholly employed in serving Jesus and Mary, and for them alone may we live and happily die. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.